Maybe we'll, I don't know how much, I don't want to take up too much time either. Does anyone have any questions at all? About the work there or about... I know that it was the Lord's will for me to go down there for these 3 weeks. Just to, you know, everything matched up between my dad's counsel and Pastor Veach's counsel and Pastor Dean's counsel. My boss gave me the time off of work. And everything just came together where the Lord was just saying, just go. And I never expected that I'd be back there that soon to be with him. But it has always been on my heart that I knew I had to go back there and help Sal. I knew what kind of a guy he was. And when I was down there for that brief time a year and a half ago, the Spirit of God just wouldn't let me forget about it. I knew I had to go there and just make trips and spend time with him and help him. And then when the Lord gave me that verse and just stopped my attention and told me, if you've counted them to be faithful, go stay in their house. And then I went, you know, with full assurance that the Lord wanted me there when I was there. And I believe when I was talking to Pastor before I went, it's not necessarily the mission field that drew me over there. It was the missionary. It was just because I had stayed in touch with him through Skype and over this past year and a half, and and now getting to know him better for those 3 weeks. I really can't say enough about their character, about his character, and just they're real. They're doing the Lord's work down there. They love the Lord Jesus Christ in its sincerity, and where do I begin? I guess, you know, let me. Let me give you, I guess, a rundown of I guess, like a normal week when I was with him. During the day, it was just a lot of me and Sal just kind of running errands, going to and fro and going to, like, the city hall and a lot of different places to get permits. But it was on those rides that I really, him sharing his heart with me and vice versa. So I really got to know him, which was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. But to go through, like, a normal week, they did get those permits. So they have, what they're going to be doing is Sal was able to choose 3 strategic locations throughout Palermo to set up tables about this size with Bibles and tracts and other literature on them. And so those are going to be going every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He's going to be doing those. On Thursday nights, they have a Bible study and a prayer meeting in their home. Thursdays right before that, they do door-to-door evangelization right around in their neighborhood. Also, on Friday nights, they have those youth meetings. On Saturday nights, they go and do street preaching and evangelization at that piazza that you saw. And then Sundays, they have their service. And then Sunday, right after the service, right after they have a meal together, they go out to either that piazza again and do public ministry, or the weeks that I was there, there's big Palermo soccer games in the stadium there. So there's like 25,000 people there, so they go and they evangelize there. But that's like a normal week that they would go through. I don't really know, like, what, I guess the only thing I could say is that the Lord worked on my heart, spoke on my heart when I was there, and the attachment and closeness that I feel to him and to his family, unless it was of the Lord, it wouldn't be possible. You know, when I left, it was I told them I leave in body, but, you know, in heart and in spirit, you know, I didn't leave. But I also, a couple of the testimonies that I gave when I was there, I told them that I felt as I felt like Joshua and Caleb felt when they went and spied out the land, and they came back and gave a report. And Joshua and Caleb, they said that that it was a good land, and they also said that we're well able to take it. And throughout my time there, the Lord really spoke to my heart about taking that city for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all Roman Catholic. There's no Bible-believing churches there, no King James Bible-believing churches. If there are churches there, they're Pentecostal, and they're watered down, the doctrine and everything else. And the Lord, I'll share a little story, and just it'll get my point across. One night when we were at the piazza, I was holding up the banner as Sal was preaching. And because everything was being done in Italian, I was kind of just in the zone and kind of almost to myself, just kind of praying to the Lord, because I couldn't understand what he was saying, and I'm just holding the banner at that time. But the Lord was just overwhelming my heart. And all that I could do the whole time is just pray. And the Lord, I was just singing to the Lord, making melody in my heart, that the verse from the song, "Brethren, we have met to worship," and it says, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." But during that time at that piazza, the Lord just, and many times during the trip, He just filled my heart with faith that He is about to bless that work there. Filled my heart with just faith that that city is able to be taken by the Lord. And he gave me verses that night when I was at the piazza. And the Lord just made me think of the story when they were toiling all the night, and they had taken nothing. And the Lord just came over and said, "Just cast the net on the other side." And not only did that boat fill up and the net break, but they had to beckon to their partners to come over and help them because they couldn't handle the amount of fishes. And that kind of, as Sal was preaching and that whole night was going on, that became my prayer that the Lord would bless the work so much and pour in such a great multitude of fishes in that place that they would have no choice but to beckon to this church and to other churches here to come over and help them. And the Lord laid those verses on my heart. And just many other times during the trip, every time I got the opportunity to speak, because He gave me many, the Lord just laid verses in my heart about faith and would just repeat things over and over in my mind, like, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this," and things like that, and really just showed me that God, I think, has a plan to do something really big there. Speaking of those verses about them toiling all the night, Sal was, they lived in Mazzaro d'Ovalle, the southwestern part of that island, for 14 or 15 years, and not a whole lot of fruit to show for it. There is a church there, you saw the picture of it, but for the amount of labor and the amount of years and the tears and the amount of seeds they've sown and the amount that they've plowed, it was relatively little fruit and very slow going. One of the things that Sal shared to me one day when we were in the car just doing those errands, he said that, many times he would just pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, what's going on here?" Like, you know, he felt like as if he was just banging his head against stone. It was just hard ground, just hard, hard ground. And now the Lord has them in Palermo, and just in 1 year, it seems like it's almost as much fruit in just 1 year as it was for those 14 years over there. And just things that I saw and things that I heard, I'm fully persuaded that I see just the Lord almost. And I had a good conversation with his oldest son Giacomo one day, and we just talked about how we see the Lord just kind of putting the chess pieces in place, and just one by one, and they're all just getting set up. And I just feel that work there is the Lord is just going to pour His blessing upon it really soon. And when I got back, I spoke to the family a couple days after I gotten back, and that Friday night, the kid and the young man in the youth ministry got saved. And that Thursday night before, when they were at the university, they invited a girl from Russia. They had been witnessing to her. She had questions. They invited her over the house for a meal. And she ended up, she just got saved in their living room on Thursday night, and just absolutely weeping and in tears and joyful of her salvation. But I think God's fingerprints roll over it. I think the Spirit of God is definitely at work there. And as far as me, I know I have to keep making trips there and helping him. I know that's something I have to do. And as far as something full-time, that's something that the Lord's will be done, and that's something that I could do nothing but pray about. But definitely they're with open arms, inviting anyone here who wants to spend time. Doesn't even have to be just during the summer. You know, it could be any time. If anybody has free time, let's go over and help him.
What was your impression of how important a trip like this is for them?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I had a few conversations with a couple of his children, and they had said, you know, for a missionary's being the son of a missionary, like their fellowship is just among themselves, basically, until there's a work started. And so I know for a fact that it was a tremendous blessing to his family, without a doubt. And I know that it was a tremendous blessing to Sal, and just a refreshing. And I think it's priceless. I think it's absolutely priceless when somebody comes and spends time and encourages a missionary like that. I think it's priceless. They said to me that it was like perfect timing. They said to me how much of a blessing it was for them. And and also it shows if the devil gets in and does, because their situation is they were in Masada for 15 years and laboring, and there's fruit there, but not as much fruit as you would expect, because they're doing the right things. They're faithful and they're doing the right things, so not as much fruit as you might expect. And then when they got the call to move to Palermo, you know, the devil can get doubts in their mind, because now they had to leave behind the nice home that they had there and a lot of things. So the devil can put doubts in there, and I think that just by, I guess, an outsider coming in and being really excited about the work and just doing whatever I can to be a blessing and showing interest, letting them know that my church family at home has an interest, I think that can dispel some of those doubts and just show them that, like, you know what, this is not just because if they think that maybe this is just my dad's vision, that's, I'm not saying that they said that, but it, by other people coming over and being encouragement to them, I think it just really encourages that family that this is the Lord's work, you know. So, Anyway, thank you for your attention, and little by little, I'm sure I'll share more with you guys individually. It's not definite yet, just because that's the only permit that's still pending. It's under review, but Lord willing, he requested July 6th to the 16th. July 6th to the 16th. But they're a blessing. I mean, they are like, if you can spend time with them, you will be a better Christian, without a doubt, for it. And I would encourage you, if you can, to definitely go. So. Yes.
I don't know, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes,
an hour and a half.
No. You should not have shown that video before I preach. Now I want to go to Cecilia. I want to go. Folks, I count not my life dear unto myself. I don't. I waste so many years of my life not doing drugs. Not doing drugs, never touch. Waste so many years of my life not doing prostitution, not, you know, doing immoral things. I waste a lot of years of my life trying to please the Lord. working very, very, very hard to please God. Back in 1965, the priest left the Catholic Church. He got saved. Read the old, old story that never grow old. Oh, because he heard a bishop crying on the bedside for help. "My soul is in agony," the bishop called. "I'm dying and going to eternity without God. Somebody help me." And that priest shook. And he went to the only place that anybody can get help, which is the Word of God. And then he found out that he was lost, undone, and he got converted. So he tried to change the Catholic Church from the inside out. Got away with all the images, all the idolatry. Came down to the middle of the church like I am today and began preaching. 3 years. Then he could not take any longer. He read somewhere, "Come out of there! Come out of them!" He read somewhere. So he came out. It did something for my mother. Missionary came to town, to a piazza. In Brazil we call praça, a square, where there's a big cathedral. And the missionary had cancer, so he had a patch on his eyes and a can on his hand. And he starts preaching. And then the Catholic mob came to stone him, beat him up. Can you believe that? My mother with a 9-month-old baby and 4 older children, she could not take that. And then she went and told that man how sorry she was. And then on that night, she just understood basically 2 things. She could not understand the missionary. He did not speak good Portuguese. But she understood enough to realize that God loved her, and that man did love her too. So she got converted. And I was that 9-month-old baby on her hand. I was taken to church. I remember going to church. I remember being there beside the house of the missionary and seeing Sunday school and being Sunday school. I remember the pink table that they have before they paint as red. I remember. I remember the first time I shaved at the church bathroom and all the blood that was there. I remember. I remember on my daddy's truck as the missionary was moving the little church to the church where my daddy gave the lot for him to build his church. I remember. And then on that church, when I was about 7, sitting right here on my right hand side, I saw some kids that just moved to town, and I saw them coming forward, and I saw them in the evening being baptized, and I was sitting there and I said, "I am being left behind," and the book was not even written. I never read the book, but I know there is a book called Left Behind. And that's exactly what I said as I was sitting there. So next Sunday, I knew exactly what to do. So I went forward. They told me to say a prayer. I said a prayer. And now I want to be baptized. Could not make it because I slept on the pill. But then, a couple months after, I was baptized. And I became a member of the church. Anything they tell me, you know, I'll do it. Went to the Bible Institute, went to Bible college, went to graduate work, began a radio ministry. Then I lost that job. I went back to Brazil, went to work for the Gallup Poll as a project manager. And then 7-9 months after that, I lost my job. I told my boss, he was a Jewish, and the Jewish look for a sign. Amen. So he got a sign that day. I said, "God is done with me here. I need to go and preach. That's what I need to do." Because when I met my wife, I was preaching. And I preached on her 2 favorite verses of the Bible. So 2 days later, when I popped the question, "Would you marry me?" She said, "Yes, I will." So I said, I would like to be engaged. She said, it's fine with me. I said, would you like to start dating then? She said, yes, indeed. So we started dating, and 14 months after, we finally got married. So she saw me preaching. She wanted me to be preaching, not polling stuff, you know. Well, I told God was done with me, so He wants me to preach. So there I went, and I began a prison ministry in Brazil. Now, prison ministry in Brazil is nothing like here. There's no death sentence unless a prison killed you there inside of the jail. And Lord knows, I was there when they did one. They just got his head off. It's just the way it is, you know. Your sins will find you out. There's more of a law-abiding code inside of the jails in Brazil tonight than there is outside. There's more respect there than is outside. Every time we start preaching, they would put their hands back, would go and put a shirt on, and stand right there still. Would not even play soccer. When we were done with preaching, they would go their business. And inside of that prison, I remember seeing a man that told me all the crimes that he has done and that he wants to commit suicide now because his wife was leaving him. I called him a coward. I called him every name under the book. And then he started to tell me, you know, something about him. I said, well, sir, that will not do any good until you bow down here and ask Jesus to forgive you and come to your heart and save you. Do you want to do that? And the man did. So I bowed down with him, and I could see some commotion on that pavilion because it got everybody's attention. Everybody was looking where we were. And then that man started to tell me something of the things that he has done. Just inside of the jail, he killed two. You know, he was condemned for 200 something years. And then I start crying. Hey man, I start fearing for my life. I mean, I'm telling the man to be a man, and what a coward he is, trying suicide when it's the easy way. I mean, I chew him out. I'm a preacher, all right, amen? I did. And I stood up, and my pastor told me not to be in full-time prison ministry, that I should be in church planting. So here I go, working a church. This was our church, this size here. And God started blessing that work. And we have all this room here to build. And the church said they want to build. I thought we should have at least 100 people before I would think about building. So we were about 15, 20 when I got there. And now we are going 40, 50, 60 max, and they want to build. I said, well, if we build, we better build a church, amen? Let's build a church for 500 people. I mean, then I'm done with building. If I would build a church for 100, I know 40 more, we are done with the building. So let's not limit ourselves. And they said, let's do it. And you would not believe this. God bless. We bought the house next. We bought the lot behind, we bought a van, and we were building a church. And we were not even in debt. They don't loan church money in Brazil, amen. If you have, you build it. If you don't have, you don't build it. A friend of mine told me he wants to go on furlough. Has been in Brazil for a long time without furlough. And he was going to shut down his church. So I told him, I go there and help you. Is 100 is 220 kilometers, so 100 miles is 106 kilometers, so about 150 miles away. Wednesday night, I was there. Thursday, I was at home at our church. Saturday night, I was there. Sunday morning, I was there, and then I drove like a maniac, hour and 45 minutes, hour 50 minutes max, to be back for Sunday school at 4:44 p.m. and then for the evening service. I did that. There in the other city, downtown, medical doctors were getting saved. And they have like medical doctor, lawyers, and dentists. I led some of them to the Lord. Here, on my town, where we are building the big church, we were on the outskirts of town, so was kind of low class income, people that were reaching, but sometime some other high class would come to the church, but we were doing the work of the Lord. One day I was preaching. One of the times that God dealt with me, I mean, He dealt with me through the ages. And I felt something in my heart. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I hold to the pulpit and I told the church that, pray for me. And I finished that message and I went to the house. I knew I had some spiritual need. But I have three things that I'm considering. My father-in-law is not saved, is not a Christian. He let me date my wife, which was 14 younger than I. Did you hear that, guys, single guys? How many guys are single? She was 14 years younger than I. And the only reason he let me date her was because I was not Catholic. I was a believer. If I were a Catholic, I would take advantage of her. But because I was a believer, I could date her and even get married to her. I have a son, three years old, that was making questions. And then we have this church that we are building. And I knew there was something wrong, but I could not figure it out. And I even told the Lord, I said, God, if I have to go to hell, I'll gladly do it. But I don't want to hurt my father-in-law, my son, and the church. I just want to be faithful to you. A mission team came to our church to help us on the construction. I call everybody a doctor, but there were some doctors there that I even did not know. And they made the dig. They dig on the hole. They did everything. And I saw something different on them. Their Christianity was easy. Mine was a 727 Boeing that I had on my back. Somebody told me that he read the Bible on his knee for a whole year. I opened there in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, and I finished on Revelations 22. Amen. You know, stood up, still the same. By then, I have read through the Bible at least 20 times. At least 20 times. Plus in English and Portuguese and Spanish. And seeing that team when they left, God had my number. And I left on September the 1st, coming to America to report to churches and try to raise support. I have been here in this country for 1 month, got some church to help us out. Then I came here for 2 months, got some church to help out. Now I'm coming for about 6 months. On the last weekend of September 2004, a hurricane was coming over Florida. And the church service was canceled. And someone had this great idea. I cannot go to church tonight. I'm going to type pastor's message of this morning. And then she sent to everybody on her email list. 14 pages long. Which I got on Friday. And I print that and I said I would read. So came October the 2nd, I was at home helping my wife getting the house ready. We are having company coming in. So I got that message. I said, oh, I told the Lord I would read it. And I read. By the fourth page, I knew what I need to do. I need to be born again. My heart was almost going out of my mouth. I said, this may not be spiritual because I feel... It's really a physical situation. All I need to do is to go outside and then things will be better. I did not want to die there in the kitchen where my wife was. So I went outside. You know, believe this. Somebody closed the window outside. I could hardly breathe outside of the house. I said, oh God, have mercy on me. Don't let me die. Let me finish reading this message. So I cradled to the house, stayed there in the living room, finished the fourth page and I said, God, don't let me die. And the fifth and the sixth and the seventh, the eighth and ninth and tenth, 11, 12, 13, 14 page. And Beto is struggling. But I pray when I was 7. I remember praying when I was a teenager. I said, if I were not saved, you'd save me. I remember this and I remember that. And then on the conclusion of that message, that pastor said this, Lord, maybe there is someone here today that have done some prayer of confession, thinking that they may have earned some points with thee. But on their hearts of hearts, they know they are not saved. They have not repented of their sins and have not trust Jesus and Jesus alone for the saving of their soul. Help them to realize that even today. I knew it was Louis. All I could remember from the Bible was, I count all things but loss. For one reason, to gain Christ. And the Bible tells, and be found in Him. What a place to be found.
Amen.
Not by my own righteousness, but the righteousness that in Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know what I found out that day? At first, growing up, the Lord dealt with me. I said, I don't want to lose my baptism. Because I made a prayer there on the Sunday school room. I was baptized. Something's wrong. And when I told the Lord that I even would go to hell, I did not want to hurt the church. Because I thought it would be an embarrassment. But when God made clear what I need to do, I did. I did not wait any longer. And I found out this. The only one that was embarrassed was the evil one. He was the only one embarrassed. I was not embarrassed at all. Oh, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And I have gone from north to south in this country, from east to west, telling this story. One of the very first time I said was on the church whose pastor preached that message. And then as I finished doing it, a preacher boy was there. He is an official in the Navy. And then he came and talked with me. And then on the end of the service, he said, I need to have what you have. He got born again. The following Wednesday, I was going to preach, all right? And my wife stood up and she sang, I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Oh, I knew. That's exactly my situation. And then I told them, it was one of these big churches, they have, you know, they have the presentation there as you preach. And I told the guy there, I said, sir, you could put away that outline. I'm not going there tonight. And I took the only verse I can remember, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And went until verse 14, telling what I'm telling you. When I was done, a lady stood up there and she was coming. She almost like were drunk. And I learned later she was the assistant pastor's mother. And she said, what you told was my life history. I had here, never had here. And on that first Wednesday night of December 2004, she got glorious saved and was baptized on the following Sunday. Folks, it's not in a religion. It is in a relationship. I'm guilty of doing God's work of telling others what they need to do to be born again, not having myself. I deceived because I was deceived. But the day that I understood that what I need to do was to repent of my sins and to have a faith-like child and trust Him and Him alone, not in a prayer. Salvation is not in a prayer, it is in a person. I embraced that. And you know what I found exactly a month later? For if the truth of God had more abounded through my lie, unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? What I was doing was wrong, telling others to be saved when I was not saved. That was a lie. But it is the truth of God. So if the truth of God had more abound through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? So I thought to myself, I asked Anna, which is the more mature Christian in the family. I said, Anna, is this verse saying what I think it is saying? And I believe it is saying, as it is. And then Dr. Michael here told me yesterday, and then later on, I saw it so clear. For 38 years of my life, I was right there by the well in the church. Guys waiting for some trouble. But the Lord's not a respect of person. Before I was born, the priest was saved and left the Catholic Church. I lived long enough to see the pastor being saved and surrender to serve him. That's the reason I believe no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for thee. I don't know where you come from. I know this, you are in a very unique church. At this hour, at this moment, I have been to another church like yours. You go and check it out. Bible Baptist Church in Fairbanks. Bible Baptist Church. BibleBaptistFairbanks.com. There in Alaska. Very similar to you. And don't take me wrong, I go to King James only churches. But pretty much King James readers, they read the right Bible. They are not doers. There's a great difference. I want to be found as a doer of the word. Not only hearer. I want to be a doer. You go to a great church. Would you do me a favor? Please, don't go to hell out of the pew, out of the seat of this church. Please don't do it. I said what I said because I was lost. I did not know any better. When the Lord made clear what was my need, I said, I want Him. I could not go where Jesus was, so He came to me and changed my life around. Would you please consider what He will have for you to do it? And just do it. You'll be glad. I promise you, I am 100% sure because it's promised here. You will not be embarrassed. You will not. You will not. What shall profit a man to build a church for 500 and lose his own soul? To pass two churches and lose his own soul. What shall profit a man to gain what? The whole and lose is also. Don't lose yours. It's precious on the sight of the Lord. Pray for me. Pray for my family. I want to catch up. 38 years lost. Wasted. Totally wasted. I wish it would be different. I wish when I was 8 that I really, 7 that I really went for the right reason. Or even when He dealt with me, I would not let anything between my Lord and my Savior. But I didn't. But I'm looking ahead. The best is yet to come. Until He comes, I'm committed to serve Him. Pastor.
That after his conversion, after he truly got saved,